Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. I'm your host, Dori DiCarlo, and you know we are here week after week, show after show, breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen just dabble in between bake sales and getting their nails done. We're not. We are smart, we are savvy, and we are sharing the wisdom of women in business and in life, and I'm always thrilled when we're able to bring a guest back to the show. Jennifer Degenhart has taught middle school and high school Spanish for 24 years, until that career ended abruptly. Having identified as a teacher her entire life, it was a challenge to discover what was going to be the next chapter. During her last teaching assignment, she began writing short novels for her students when they were not buying into the traditional textbook lessons. With the first book she wrote, Jennifer found that her students were more engaged, both with the language and in class in general, and through the stories, she was able to offer themes for discussion she felt complemented language study and those that, simply put, need to be part of the regular discourse. Racism, classism, social protest, paying it forward, alcoholism, unhealthy relationships, LGBTQ plus communities, culture, identity, undocumented immigration, persons with disabilities, and everything else. As it turned out, it was in the telling of the stories that allowed Jennifer to rewrite her own in middle age. And dang it if she isn't having the best time doing it. So while she once again dons the teacher's hat, this time at the college level, Jennifer is thrilled that she is still able to work with younger students through the stories she tells. So with all of that being said, Jennifer, welcome back to Word of Mom Radio.
Thank you, Dori. It's great to be here.
It's so amazing to me how you have been able to bring all of these topics to life, not only engaging in your discourse with your students, but in creating books around them and creating stories to engage people. So please catch us up on everything you've been doing since the last time you were here.
The last time I was with you, I was just starting out and in a complete panic about everything, finances being at top of mind. Not that they're not now, but it's such a steady stream of income now, that me doing these books, that it's blossomed to so many other ventures. Last summer, mid-pandemic, when I figured that, you know, we might be locked down for a little bit, with another woman who writes books like I do, she and I got together and created a website for all of our books. And right now, between the two of us, and we write at about the same clip, we have 70 books. And on this website platform we've got people from all over the world coming in and reading the books online and listening to them. So we've hired some people to do the audio, and it's been fabulous. It's really been a great start and another wonderful arm to my business. And of course, I'm still continuing to write the stories that I so love, that really light the fire under me every single day.
You know, for people that don't know about the stories you love, share one of them. You know, just kind of get us back on your wavelength.
Well, the first story I wrote was called it's The New Girl in English, La Chica Nueva in Spanish, and now it's in French as La Nouvelle Fille, and it's being translated and adapted for German right now as well, but I'm not going to butcher that title because I don't know how to pronounce German. I wanted to include a story where students would be able to see themselves. You know, I was teaching in a fairly non-diverse school district, but I also wanted to introduce, diverse characters. So I added characters from a different culture. And she is the new girl in town. And that's how I was able to introduce the theme of racism and classism. And from there, I have just ventured off to so many different types of characters. That most of my stories, I would say all of my stories, are character driven and not plot driven, because I think people are at the heart of language and language acquisition. And if we're not learning language in order to communicate with other people, then really, what is the point? That's my personal opinion. So in teaching now, even at the college level, my aim is to give students enough of a boost, enough encouragement, and enough language to go out and speak to somebody else in Spanish, regardless of how correct it is, because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. And through connection of language and, you know, and having it be a game between the speaker and the listener and the listener and the speaker, some barriers can be broken down, so we can just start having different and more fun conversations with people who are different from us. I think that people are, I've noticed this with my students, who are more apt to discuss touchier subjects, let's just say, or more taboo subjects, you know, in social discourse. If they're doing it through a character, then they can remove themselves from the situation and just talk about what's going on between these fictional characters. And at least that gets the dialogue started. And I think it's a good way for students, even if they're reading on their own, to be exposed to different things. And I don't have an agenda per se. I'm not pushing any political agenda or anything like that, but I really, you know, want to offer content that students might not know about and they might not investigate on their own.
In everything that has been going on now, with this whole pandemic, I mean, you talked about the website. What kind of effect has the pandemic had on your business?
In the beginning, there was a sharp downturn of books being purchased, but that was because most of my clients and my customers, rather, are school teachers and buying physical books when students are at home, you know, was not feasible. And I understood that, so I... What I did, in fact, the very first day of the pandemic, I actually flew out of the country. I was in Guatemala when they shut the borders of Guatemala down, and I wasn't able to come back to the United States. So I was in Guatemala for 7 weeks, and on the very first day, I messaged a friend. I said, maybe I should write a story about COVID and offer it up to teachers while they're trying to teach, you know, remotely for the first time. And this friend said to me, yes, and offer it for free. And I said, that's a great idea. And so I did. I wrote a book in 48 hours and was able to link it up as a PDF with some GIFs and definitions and websites connected, just something interactive that teachers could use if they wanted to. And I offered it up to teachers, and they were thrilled with that. And I think kind of shocked that I was able to write a story in 48 hours. It's not my best work necessarily, but it does the trick. And there's some culture in there, and there is a social problem, and gives kids the opportunity to see how these eighth graders in the story, or seventh graders, I think they're middle schoolers, dealt with the onset of the pandemic. So that was really fun.
How amazing that you were able to do that in 48 hours and I love that you put it out there for no cost, because let's face it, when everything first happened, it wasn't even homeschooling. It was panic. And I think that all of the teachers, I commend so much how they found ways to connect with their students, try to keeping them engaged. And the process of all of that had to just be so insane. I watched my other friends whose kids were now not in school, who they are now working from home. We kept doing tons of shows on Word of Mom, on homeschooling and balancing it all and how to connect everything. because it was just a strange shock. And what was it like for you having to be in Guatemala for 7 weeks before you were able to leave?
Well, I kept saying I was stuck in Guatemala, but I was not suffering. I was actually, it was a blessing in disguise in that I was able to really relax about the whole pandemic. You know, I did what I could as a college professor from far away, and we met online, and we did the best we could with what we had, just like every other teacher was doing. But, you know, not being able to come home was easier for me to, well, I physically cannot come home. The borders are closed, and I used that time to write. I wrote that story. I got, I think, two others started while I was there. I'm always inspired when I go to Guatemala, and I just loved every minute of it. I did not like the online teaching. I have to admit it is not my favorite. I like to connect with people. I like being with people. I need to be with people. So I felt very strongly that I needed and wanted to help teachers at the beginning of the pandemic. And by writing that one story about COVID, I was able to do that, and I hope it did help some teachers. I think they were thrilled to have something. And then, you know, when things started opening up a little bit, sales started increasing, and I think by, I don't know, last year, in the second half of the year, I think I published maybe 4 books. I'm not really sure. I don't keep count. But I just kept working, and I knew I had translations and adaptations of books to work on. I had plenty to do, so again, I was not suffering, because I knew at some point there would be an end to the pandemic, and knowing that I was starting the virtual business with the e-books and the audio, that it would all take off. You know, I had faith in that whole process.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break, say thank you to our sponsors, and we will be back in just a moment here on Word of Mom Radio.
Have you been curious about CBD? Maybe you heard it helps relieve stress and balance your body, but you're not sure where to start? The most important thing when you're thinking about CBD is choosing a brand you trust and feel confident in. Altwell is a high quality and effective CBD line. It's a family business with 4 generations in the wellness industry, and they poured all their experience, knowledge, and passion into making modern wellness attainable. Altwell uses only the highest quality, ethically grown hemp, carefully selected from Colorado farms. They triple test every product, and with every purchase, you can access a lab report so you can see exactly what you're getting. If you're new to CBD, a great place to start is with topicals like Altwell's balms and lotions to help ease achy muscles, and their serums to moisturize and brighten your skin. Altwell is offering Word of Mom listeners a special discount so you can try it for yourself. All you have to do is go to altwell.com and use code ALTWELLMOM at checkout for 25% off your first purchase. Exclusions apply.
She is brave. She is strong. She is you. Because you're that woman who's got a product or a service that you're looking to promote. Or you're out there seeking to support other women in business to help women learn, network, and build the businesses of their dreams. Because when you win, we win.
We all know a survivor. Some of our friends and family have made it through difficult times. Some of us don't make it. Losing a loved one to cancer, a car accident, or any other unfortunate event can be crippling and unavoidable. But one of the hardest subjects to talk about is suicide. Too often, our youth decide that leaving this place is easier than facing the struggle forced upon them every day. More than 1 in 4 children go through some form of bullying or another. Most of us survive with scars, but for some, the inner demons created cannot be recognized or treated in time to ensure they make it through. Bullying in every form is very much avoidable. It starts with me, and it starts with you. This is Kelly Carius from No Such Thing as a Bully, reminding you to do your part when you see bullying happen. If you don't know what that is, call 403-447-4404. Or go to nosuchthingasabully.com.
Don't let the name fool you, because stadiumbags.com has a line of clear bags that enable you to use your phone and your smart devices without removing them from your bag. Not only that, but the product is so good it'll stand up to the cleaning solvents that you need to use now to make sure that when you come home you come home safely. So take a look at stadiumbags.com. You'll see why we're your clear choice, because safety, it's in the bag.
And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio. We are talking with Jennifer Degenhart, and we're talking about her books and what she has been doing with all of these wonderful stories that are so amazing for the whole social emotional learning that has been going on. And I know people hear about SEL, but so often they don't understand what it's about. So, Jen, for you, how do you feel your stories are good for that social emotional learning component people are looking for?
Well, I think there is that the much more intellectual than I am, that theory of windows, mirrors, and sliding glass doors, Ms. Rudine Sims Bishop, that for students sometimes need, most importantly, to have books serve as mirrors for them so they can see themselves. Readers will be able to attach themselves more to a book when they can see themselves and others like them in literature of any kind. And that allows them to build better empathy. Likewise, students who are unlike, or readers who are unlike the characters in the book will serve as a window and allow those readers to see how others live and operate and exist in the world, and that it's not better or worse, it just is. And I really would like students and readers of my books to understand that it just is. It's, you know, we are, as humans, are judgmental beings, but if we just start to accept that, you know, with people and the way they live, that's just the way they live, we might be better off. There might be a lot less angst in the world. So I'm trying to, with the special needs students that I'm highlighting, I just published a book about a girl with Down syndrome. I have a book with a boy who uses a wheelchair. I have 4 books, which are very dear to my heart, because I've been told they were the first ones. I wrote the first book with LGBTQ characters. I want every student to be able to have a book of mine where they can see themselves, so they know that they're being seen and heard in this world. I have plans to incorporate other stories with students with neurodivergent issues, and it is my pleasure to include all of those kids in stories where they can see themselves, because I think that's so important. And if students see themselves in books and empathy is developed, even where empathy is not modeled in other places in their lives, if students are involved in a book, I just think that we'll be better off as human beings.
I actually have tears in my eyes listening to you, and I'm so proud to know you. That's, you know, it's taken me back. Sesame Street was the first show that ever integrated a child with Down syndrome. And that was because Emily Pearl Kingsley, who was their head writer, she had her only child, she and her husband, it was later in life, and he was born with Down syndrome. And at that point, they were still, I'm putting air quotes, mongoloid children, and they used to tell them, just tell people they died. And, you know, put him away, he'll never do this, he'll
right.
never do that. When I met her son, he was introducing her at an award ceremony for Easter Seals, and he did it in French. And she was there, she was mm-hmm. in the hospital looking at everything going, there's no one like my child anywhere on TV. And so she wrote him into Sesame Street to show kids that there were kids like them. And so I love that this is what you are doing. Is this how your books just continue to set themselves apart from other books out there?
You know, I think my books are set apart in that way because, and believe me, I'm not familiar with the vast majority of books that are similar to mine. The ones that I do have experience with have been, you know, fairly non-diverse. there are more diverse books coming out there. And I think all books are worthy, and I do believe there, if not every book is for every kid, but there is a book for every kid. And so all books are welcome, especially the push now in world language classrooms is to create a classroom library and have some free voluntary reading time, the voluntary part being the students can pick the book they want to read. So, but I just want to make sure that, you know, all of the kids get a book where they can really say, oh my gosh, when that's me, or that's my little brother, or that's my older sister, or that's my aunt. When the first book, Three Friends, Los Tres Amigos, came out, having the two gay characters who fall in love throughout the book, it's rated G. There's hand-holding, I think, no, hand-touching, not even hand-holding, because I wouldn't, that's not the idea. That's just to present that there are LGBTQ characters that need to be represented. Teachers were writing me saying, oh my gosh, this is great. The LGBTQ kids are so thrilled to see the Pride Triangle on the front of the book. And another teacher came up to me at the end of a conference. She says, I'm so glad you're still here. I was packing up. She said, I need to get another copy of Los Tres Amigos. I gave mine away last year. This girl would not engage in reading at all. She was defiant most of the year. She was having difficulties in my class and others, and I just said, you know, I handed her that book, and I said, maybe you'd like to read this. And a year later, the girl came to her and said, you know, I just wanted you to know that book really helped me so much. I finally came out to my parents, and that book helped me. And we're crying. She's crying. I'm crying. I just gave her another book, and I think I gave her another copy for the next student, and I said, you know, carry on. Now I'm the one crying, thinking of that experience.
You know,
that's why I do what I do.
There's the saying that if you help one person, you've changed the world.
Yes.
Look at what you did.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what is it like creating one of your graphic novels?
Well, most of the novels, you know, if I can correct you, I don't want people to think that I write just graphic novels, because I've only written one. The most of the novels are really just short, you know, chapter books for kids, and I don't include illustrations purposely because, quite frankly, that's rather expensive, and when I did early last summer, maybe about this time last year, I reached out to one of the student artists that I use for some covers of my books, and I said, would you be interested in co-creating a graphic novel with me? And she texted me right back and said, yes, yes. Turns out she also needed a capstone project for her senior year of high school, which was this past year. And so it worked out perfectly. So she would use this novel, this graphic novel that we came up with together as her project. And the result is Cambios is the name of it in Spanish. Changes is out in both English and Spanish. And it's a love in the time of COVID story. And we had such a great time coming up with this story. And Emilia Vickers is the student artist, and who just graduated from Wayland School in Wisconsin. We've never met. We've only met on Zoom or FaceTime. And she and I came up with a story about how we wanted to depict some more diverse characters. And we came up with a story about two teens who meet right before COVID and right before the pandemic. And turns out that one of the teens is a trans boy, and the other one is from a fairly conservative family, the girl June. June's family is half Chinese, and the grandma lives with them. And it's just, there's so much involved here. And the illustrations are just gorgeous. And talks about how June has to become more accepting of Micah as a trans person, and all of those feelings that might come up. And we are very proud of the story. I'm very proud of Emilia because she was the driving force behind this. With her drawings, it was easy to create. And with my writing, you know, she just took off from that. So she created the characters. I started writing the story. Then she would create some more scenes, and I would write, you know, et cetera, et cetera. We had the best time.
How cool. So as we're wrapping up, what are you working on now?
What I'm working on now is I just finished writing my first play. I have never written a play before. I didn't really have any idea what I was doing. But this is a play that I've worked with my best friend's son, who's biracial, and his experiences with racism that he experienced as a high school student. And I'm working in tandem with him to make sure the story gets told properly. And I love the work. I love that he's involved. And I think it will be a great piece for students and teachers to read together, if not even perform, because I'm going to put it out also in English, to get another conversation started. And I was inspired to write this not only from everything that happened last summer with, you know, in May with the death of George Floyd and all of the other deaths of other black people at the hands of police, but also in reading Don Lemon's book, We Are the Fire. I read the first chapter. I got up the next morning. I started writing a play. I'd never written a play before. So I'm really excited about that. Anyone who would like to check out the books that I have so far, you can find them at puenteslanguage.com. That's P-U-E-N-T-E-S language.com. Or on the digital site at digilangua.co, digilangua.co.
All of those links will be live on our show page. And I really encourage you to reach out. Jen, I am so amazed when I think back to your first book and you were so unsure, you didn't know what to do next or what you were going to do, but you just knew you had to do something and that this book had to be written. And look at what is going on now. It is so remarkable to me, the difference that you are making, and I'm so proud of you. I really am, and this is why I love being able to catch up with the guests that we have the chance to share on this show, because really I have tears in my eyes because I'm just so proud of you. And you know, it's the times like this that it just reminds me of why I love what I do. My brother once asked me, what's in it for you doing this show? And it is the journey and the amazing women that are making such a difference. And the fact that I am lucky enough to be able to share them on this show. So thank you again for being here, Jen. I'm so proud of you. And for all of you tuning in, I want to say thank you to our sponsors over at altwell.com. Take advantage of that 25% off offer. If you go to altwell.com, put in Altwell Mom. You will be really glad you did. And we're going to finish out with our fabulous theme song from Smith Sisters Bluegrass. So till next time, this is Dori DiCarlo saying go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.